People sing and shout the day's news from hill to hill at nightfall in Hobeni. It was on such an evening 13 years ago that Charity Petelo's life changed forever, with a scream from her teenage son's bedroom.
He said to me, the people came. He doesn't know because the door was locked. They put him in a coffin. And then they said he's going to take him away. All these funny things that he told.
Charity's previously healthy son, Sisa, was suffering intense delusions. His face twisted in terror. Sweat dripped from him. Soon his paranoia infected the whole family. All began fearing that some invisible, horrible threat was about to harm them. Charity recalls that Sisa suddenly stripped his clothes off and demanded to bath.
He was washing so quick, and then he put other clothes, and then he put tight his belt. He said, these people today, they said they are coming, and they don't care about you. They are going to take me, whether you say whatever.
The boy then sprinted from the house and somehow jumped over a high fence topped with razor wire. Villagers formed groups to search for Sisa. He was found almost a day later, many miles away, wandering along a highway. His mother asked him where he'd been.
He told me that we went to the sea under the water, where Satan stays under the water. Under the water of the sea. We were there. There were so many people. And Satan was the king of all them all.
A doctor diagnosed Sisa with schizophrenia and prescribed medicines to calm him. But he grew increasingly detached. He stopped eating. His mother had to feed him. He stopped communicating with family, friends, and teachers.
I took him out of school because the children were laughing at him. Because they said he's a zombie. Yeah, he was a zombie.
Sisa stopped washing. People in the community started calling him the dirty demon and child of Satan. Charity is a professional nurse with Western-style training and qualifications. She has studied psychiatry at university. But like most people in Hobeni, she's convinced Sisa has schizophrenia because he's been bewitched.
I think there was an evil spirit.
Medical science has not established what causes schizophrenia, but experts say trauma could contribute to it. And when Sisa was 10 years old, his father was murdered.
He was driving the car. He drove that car until he died. He didn't stop, though they were shooting. They were white people who were shooting him. They shot him by AK-47s. They shot until he died. The car was beyond repairs. It was full of holes. Sisa was so hurt because he was loved by his father.
Following the unsolved killing, says Charity, Sisa began misbehaving at school.
I was called by the teacher. I said, no, Sisa has changed altogether. She beat the children. She beat them like this. Their hair.
He picks them up by their
hair. And beat them. The white children only.
But Charity says Sisa's aggression at school lasted only a few months. She says he then became normal once more, until the delusionary episode that plunged him into schizophrenia when he was 16. Sisa watches other patients eat breakfast at a home for mentally ill people in Hobeni. He's a massive man, almost 2 meters tall. His arm and leg shake. He never blinks. His eyes are wide and staring. His mouth hangs open. He whispers to himself constantly. Sisa is on medication, but he still wanders around at night, screaming.
He used to fight something that you don't see. Throw the punches to something that you don't see. Sometimes he would cry as if somebody is beating him, and he falls down as if he has been beaten by somebody, but you don't see anybody.
The facility's therapist, Alex Gunter, says if Sisa gets homesick, as he did recently, he becomes dangerous.
He hit a phone and broke a phone. He went to the kitchen and took a knife
but he just walked up and down with the knife. It's not that he went to a person with the knife. But on that day, I called the mom and said, come now and pick him up now. Because the safety of the other residents is not insured anymore.
Charity says when Sisa returns home on weekends and for holidays, havoc, as she puts it, is unleashed on her and her family.
He wants us to do what he wants. We are just like slaves. If Sisa is there, you must keep quiet. You mustn't talk about something else. He becomes very angry, as if we are gossiping about him. He wants to break everything.
She says Sisa doesn't assault people anymore, but if he doesn't get his way, he flies into a fury.
If you can go to my house, all the doors are broken. If Sisa, he wants to break something, he's going to kick it. He's going to kick the door. It's going to break.
The mother says she's very scared of her son.
One day he's going to kill me. If you can see an axe there, he can chop me at any time.
But Charity insists she loves Sisa.
I know him. He used to be a good boy. He used to make us happy. He used to play guitars for us. He used to love his brothers and sisters and everybody.
So you're hoping that one day that old Sisa will return?
I was hoping, but the more the years go, is the more he becomes far from what I was praying and was hoping for.
In most rural areas in South Africa, there are no facilities to treat people with schizophrenia. Gunther acknowledges that her home is inadequate for Sisa. So she says he remains a danger to himself and to others. Sisa watches men break wood for a fire. He walks in circles, head down. He mutters repeatedly, I am God, I am God. Charity stares at her son. Like him, she's trapped in a life of suffering from which it seems there's no escape. I'm Darren Taylor for VOA News in Hobeni, South Africa. Nothing wrong.